So, Douglas Johnson, we just saw the South Sydney's foreign minister give a talk at Chatham House. What's the reaction to what he said? Do you think that the government's narrative is going to be more accepted by the international community after his visit to London?
Well, I think there are too many details about what happened that remain unclear or unaddressed. And the narrative that we were given today of a somewhat accidental killing of people in Juba as a result of the fighting that broke out between the Presidential Guard, I think is going to be very difficult for the international community to accept that as the full explanation of what happened. Certainly we've got enough eyewitness accounts of people which suggest that there was a much wider targeted killing of civilians or of politicians that goes beyond just the accidental or incidental indiscipline of the troops chasing the repulsed coup attempt into the residential areas.
From your understanding, from the limited perspective we have on what happened on December 15th, was there a coup attempt from what you can see?
I still have some difficulty accepting that as a full explanation. I think that if there had been a coup attempt, it is surprising that the people who were arrested in their homes. Also, many of the people who've been arrested didn't really have strong contacts in the army, so they aren't the type of people you would expect to be leading a coup. So, let me put it this way. I'm still not convinced that there was a coup attempt. The different sort of accounts of how the fighting started in the Presidential Guard doesn't really point to an organized attempt to overthrow the government. On the other hand, the way in which the armed rebellion began does suggest that there was some network in existence between those commanders that got activated as a result of the incidents in Juba. I do not accept the argument that these were people who were appalled by the reports of deaths of Nuer civilians in Juba and were coming to protect them. That doesn't sound sensible or reasonable either. So that has to be investigated or interrogated and find out just exactly what was going on there. Not quite the same thing as a coup attempt, but possibly something was in the air that the president then tried to preempt.
And as it stands, do you think that Riek Machar has control of this network of SPLA commanders?
No, I don't think that he has full control. When he was the leader of the Nasser split, he didn't exercise full control over his troops then either. And I think it's been quite clear from the pattern of fighting that he's been trying to put himself in front of this outbreak to proclaim himself the leader, but he's not really in control. Therefore, I mean, that's... Although I think that there may have been some sort of network between him and these commanders, I don't think that everybody had the same motive for taking to arms. And I do not, for a moment, really believe that they are united behind a claim for greater democracy in the country. Peter Gaudet, as you know, has defected over and over again. It's kind of a habit with him. One thing that did happen in the 1990s with the Nasser split, of course, was that as that rumbled on without any resolution, the Nuer began fighting themselves. And this is already beginning to happen in Unity State. No, I don't think that Riak is... First of all, I don't think he is in control. And second, from past behavior and his past his track record, I don't think he's capable of exerting control.
Bearing that in mind, do you think that the current peace process should be involving more of the commanders who are in control of these former government soldiers and armed civilians, rather than a top level political back and forth between the elite of South Sudanese politics?
Yes, I think that you're absolutely right. Whatever is agreed in Addis Ababa, is it possible for it to be enforced on the ground without that sort of engagement? I also think that there should be a much wider involvement of other civilian groups. I mean, people use this term civil society, and it's very vague, but I think that this might be the opportunity for people who are not part of the party, not part of the army, not part of the government, but who are of a stake in the peace and prosperity of the country, to raise their voices and make their voices heard. There was the mention in this meeting, I think it was Rosalind Marsden rather than the minister, of a constitutional review, and that's overdue. And that is when a real popular voice could be brought in and make an impact on how the country restructures itself and governs itself.